Welcome to History in 6, a place where we sample history in 6-minute increments. I'm your host, Tim Lindell. Today we're going to begin our discussion of Anne Hutchinson. Time is short, let's jump into it. Anne Hutchinson was the first woman to achieve any importance in the colonies of North America. She was a traditional, hardworking wife and mother, which was common for the colonies. Survival meant everyone pitching in and doing their job. But what was uncommon was her ability to speak out with her own strong voice, her own strong opinions. The funny thing is, we know very little about her. Whereas Winthrop and Williams left books and papers that could fill up volumes, Mrs. Hutchinson left behind no writings. She published no books. She published no pamphlets. Which really isn't surprising. It would have been virtually impossible for a woman in the first half of the 17th century to write a book or to publish a pamphlet in any form or another. But she also didn't write any letters. If she kept a journal, it didn't survive. The only real documentation we have on her is the record of 2 trials of which she was subjected. And these records offered a less than flattering view of her. We do know that Anne was born in Lincolnshire in 1591. She was one of 13 children of Francis Marbury. 13 children? Wow, her parents must have been busy. I mean, keeping track of all those kids. You know, but why did they have so many children? The reality was the mortality rate was high in this period. 1 in 5 kids didn't make it to 1 year old. 1 in 3 kids didn't make it to the age of 15. On average, 4 of her siblings would have died at a young age. Because of the high mortality rate, families would have more kids to ensure they had children who could contribute to the family later as they aged. Francis Marbury was a minister, and he encouraged Anne's interest in theology and taught her everything he knew. Anne grew up and married a merchant named William Hutchinson. They had 12 children together. 12? I can't imagine having that many kids. I mean, just think about it in like today's setting. How would you get 12 kids to soccer, basketball, dance, whatever activities they had? I don't know how you would do any of that. I don't know how you'd keep track of that many kids. Oh, man. But I do know Anne definitely, undoubtedly came from a fertile family. As Anne grew up, she maintained a passion for religion and attended the sermons of John Cotton at St. Botolph's in Lincoln. John Cotton was a charismatic minister who was considered one of the top theologians of the time, and he was a leading advocate for the Puritan reforms within the Church of England. As such, he became increasingly critical of the church's hierarchy and lack of commitment to what he considered the Puritan ideals. As such, Cotton lost his license to preach in 1633 and promptly immigrated to the Bay Colony. Once he arrived at the Bay Colony, he established himself as the leading minister of the First Church of Boston. Mrs. Hutchinson, her husband, and children followed Cotton to the New World the next year in 1634. Anne herself was a natural leader and made her home a place for any woman who found herself in trouble. She would sometimes act as a midwife. She would dispense homemade remedies and give medical advice to women. She wouldn't be considered a women's rights activist, but she thought it was natural for a woman to participate in religious discussions. In fact, she and her brother-in-law, John Wheelwright, would host post-sermon discussion groups at Anne's house on Sunday afternoons, and usually one of the evenings during the week. They would use this time to analyze in greater detail the words of John Cotton and other preachers in the Boston area. It was a popular event and would be attended by up to 60 people, with almost half of them being women. Anyone could participate if they so desired. None of this was controversial. The problem for Anne Hutchinson wasn't her actions, it was her beliefs. Cotton, Wheelwright, and herself believed in a covenant of grace. Yes, they were antinomians. Most preachers and residents of Boston believed that a moral life was all that was necessary to obtain salvation in the afterlife. Miss Hutchinson, argued that redemption was God's to give and could not simply be earned by effort. Faith alone was the path to salvation, not one's deeds. Granted, good deeds were an outward sign of faith, but they weren't the same as faith. The logic of this doctrine was obviously considered subversive by the majority of Boston, and more importantly, the leaders of Boston. And this would lead to trouble for Anne in the coming episode. If you've enjoyed this episode, tell a friend about us. If you haven't already, subscribe to get future content. And as always, have a great day if you want to.